All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be talking to an individual who competes at BKFC 50, which goes down on September the 22nd. And we've got Keegan Vandermeer knuckling up and toeing the line against Dylan Wine Miller. And great having Dylan on the show for the first time. How's everything going there, man?
Everything's great, man.
Yeah, good to hear, man, and appreciate having you on the show and everything like that, and just kind of wondering the thoughts heading into this one, just with this being, you know, a cruiserweight bout following your last one being against a 205er. Is this feeling like, you know, the weight category you're wanting to pursue long term here?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I woke up the morning of that fight about like 4 pounds. That's how I like it. I don't like cutting 20 something pounds for fights, and I don't really mind fighting bigger guys. I would mind if we were grappling, but given that we're not grappling, bigger guys doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, that seems to be something I've heard from, you know, guys who've, you know, had a certain background in other, you know, combat sports coming over, like people who have like any kind of grounding in mixed martial arts, like just because the grappling is subverted, it's like they're willing to like really take on these bigger kind of challenges. So that's like a big part of your, you know, ethos here being at cruiserweight.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot more than 20 pounds, and I don't know, I move good at 205. I'm not starving myself for anything, so that's where I'm going to stay.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely getting an emphatic win last time out. It felt like that victory over Steven Townsend, getting the, you know, second round finish, it felt like it really, you know, shook up the division, as it were. Like, what were your main takeaways from that performance at BKFC 45?
My main takeaway was to follow my game plan. I got in there and wanted to knock out, stalked him a little too hard, and got beat up pretty good in the first round, just chasing him and loading up on shots instead of following my game plan and letting him come to me and stuff. So that's my main takeaway from that fight.
Yeah, it just seemed like a win that really vaulted you. I mean, improving to 2-1 in BKFC, obviously impressive, but I mean, just the level of experience this guy has, like just more than, or who has rather double the bare knuckle experience you do. And just it seemed like you were able to put him away emphatically. I would think that would be a pretty important win in your progression.
Yeah, I thought so too. Like I said, I really like Steven Townsend. I look up to the guy, and when they asked me to fight him, I knew that nobody was going to think I was going to win that fight, but I thought I could, so it worked out.
Yeah, and a very interesting arc just in the overall BKFC journey, just with your first BKFC win coming in a very emphatic way, one for the highlight reel, that BKFC 41 finish. So it seems like you're getting some of these different looks. Like, I mean, going into the second round, it's obviously not like super long, but in a relative way, getting to show like more of that like gas tank and different looks technique wise, but also showing you do have that, you know, one punch, like immediate knockout power. Like, do you think you've gotten to show like a few different facets of your game so far in your bare knuckle journey?
Yeah, I got to show that I can take punishment. I have a little bit more of a gas tank than people might think I have in the last one, but I still haven't put on a performance that I'm happy with yet. I'm a really good striker, and I keep getting tricked into brawls. So I've shown a few things. I showed I had heart in the last one because Townsend knocked the shit out of me 4 or 5 times. I don't know. I feel like I answered a lot of questions about me. Whenever I had the 7-second knockout, I actually got a lot of negative input from people on the internet, which, surprise, surprise, I mean, that's always going to happen. But I answered a lot of questions that people had about me whenever I won in a 7-second knockout. So I'm happy with the second round of the Townsend fight. I'm not too happy with the first, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and just in kind of referencing showing off that gas tank, because like as much as you have competed in Colorado before, it was in that aforementioned, you know, BKFC 41 fight that was so succinct. So it would feel like this fight coming up, just with it being in Denver and all, like it would really give you a chance to show off that cardio, and especially so in like a higher altitude area, no less.
Yeah, I think the second round is about as far as this fight goes, but regardless, I'll be ready for it. I train my ass off. I do more than double the rounds I fight in BKFC every morning. I'll punch a bag, and I run a few miles, and, you know, I spar 12, 15 rounds at a time, so I'm not really that worried about the gas tank asset of it.
Oh, no, for sure. It definitely seems like you put in that work to, you know, be ready for it, no doubt, and everything like that. I guess just even briefly touching on that one last time, like, much to talk about with this fight here, but, I mean, that was such a huge event, that BKFC 41 card, in a lot of different ways, like, one of the more visible, you know, bare-knuckle events of the modern era. Like, what was it like to, I mean, just be part of that, but to then get this huge highlight reel win as part of it, too?
It was awesome when I first got there at the hotel. You know, I'm like, oh, there's Ben Rothwell, there's Luke Rockhold, there's, you know, Eddie Alvarez, running into Mike Perry in the hotel and stuff. You know, just running into all the people I ran into, all the people I got to meet there that day was awesome. A bunch of people I've always looked up to. And what I wanted was knockout of the night victory over all those guys, and I got it. So I was really happy with that. It wasn't even about the bonus for me. I really just wanted to have knockout of the night on the card that had, you know, Eddie Alvarez, Chad Mendez, and all those guys on it. So,
yeah, definitely a lot of great stuff to be had with this event. But just kind of in talking about, you know, this next one here, curious to get your thoughts on Keegan Vandermeer, because, I mean, talking about succinct stoppages, I mean, his wasn't quite as quick, but, I mean, still 40 seconds, I would definitely give a tip of the cap to a lad for sure. I mean, just that victory over Zeb Vincent at BKFC 31. So also returning after like a bit of a hiatus, I mean, close to a year there away from, you know, bare knuckle specifically. Like, what are your thoughts on Keegan Vandermeer as far as like what you may have seen from studying tape on him and everything?
I don't really know a whole lot about the guy. I don't do too much worrying about what my opponent does, because I know what I want to do. And I mean, more often than not, I can make what I want to do happen rather than what they're going to do. So I know what my game plan is. So I, on him, I mean, he seems talented in Muay Thai and all that stuff. He hits real hard. That was an impressive stoppage that he got over whatever, Vincent or whatever, I can't remember his name, but regardless, you could hear the shots and stuff, and he's quick. His height is, I mean, his reach and his height is going to be something he can use against me. So, I don't know. I'm not super worried about it, but I'm taking him seriously.
Yeah, and it seems like Birch Franks, your coach, who you've described in past interviews I've seen as your Yoda, like, he seems like a key part. But you were mentioning the specific body type of Vandermeer, like, kind of being a longer guy. Like, are you curating a lot of your, I guess, sparring here to be working with guys who do have similar body types, or has that been maybe a bit of an issue in this camp, like, directly replicating the body type, I guess?
No, I've got people from 6'11" to spar with, so, I mean, I've got some real big guys to spar with and work on getting past that reach and inside where I want to be at. And I don't know. I've not really changed a lot about my camp, but I have brought in bigger guys or taller guys to work on getting past jabs and all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And it seems like just such an interesting arc in the sport so far you've had, as I've mentioned a couple times, but just, you know, interesting the experience you've brought into it, just from what I can tell with 6 MMA fights across amateur and pro, and from what I could glean off of BoxRec, it looks like you've had 4 like pro glove boxing bouts. It seems like really like a perfect grounding. Like, I mean, as much as it's like a brand new sport ultimately here, like, which would you say ultimately, like, you derive more from, like, in terms of like crossover know-how? Like, is it ultimately like the infighting and clinch positions of MMA, like, really paying dividends? Is it like the more at-range fighting and experience you've gotten from glove boxing, or maybe like a bit of both?
It's really been more of anything. MMA, you have to account for all ranges. You have to account for kick, everything from a kick to an elbow. So the positioning hasn't really carried over too much for me from MMA, but not to correct you, but on a lot of my fights aren't on Tapology because Arkansas didn't really even have an athletic commission as far as MMA goes until 2012, but I actually have, I had 18 amateur MMA fights, and I had four pro MMA fights, and I had 14 amateur boxing matches, but that's neither here nor there. I just thought the numbers were interesting, but yeah, more carryover from boxing, I would say, but I'm figuring out, regardless of what carries over and what doesn't, that bare knuckle is its own thing, because boxing, you can hide behind gloves. MMA, you can grapple whenever you get hit, you know. Everything's a lot different on bare knuckle.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and no worries about the correction. I mean, I feel like ultimately sometimes there are those fights that slip through the cracks with some of these aggregators. Like, as much as these guys do a great job, and shout out to them, I feel like that's been a thread even talking to other fighters over the years, just like some of those fights just not really being, you know, present on those aggregators. But I mean, yeah, it just even speaks more to the, you know, wealth of experience you have leading into bare knuckle and all. Yeah, I love seeing that. But it's just very active, too, because I noticed you debuted in the sport this year and now entering the ring for your fifth BKFC bout and everything like that. Like, what was it that drew you to bare knuckle? Because just kind of looking at the overall timeline, it looks like you had, like, made a return to MMA after, like, a kind of lengthy hiatus. Like, it was, like, a nine-year hiatus from competition. So, like, just getting back to, you know, combat sports and all, like, what was it that ultimately drew you to bare knuckle eventually as you had kind of returned there a couple of years back and all?
Honestly, I don't know. People had told me I had a future in fighting. I didn't have the option to just start fighting whenever I turned 18. I had fought all through my minor years and had to get a real job. I spent a lot of time with my head up my ass getting in trouble, but mainly I got, you know, work jobs. I was a welder and I did things that were for sure money. And I finally got into a position where I could bet on myself and go into fighting for a living. And it's been working out so far. Honestly, I quit it all. And I mean, I missed it, but I didn't think I'd be able to come back and make a real run at it because of age. But, I had a couple of buddies that started doing jiu-jitsu, and they asked me to come corner them at a grappling tournament, and I went corner them at a grappling tournament, and then I started grappling, and then it was like I booked a fight less than 2 months later. Like, I couldn't stay away from it if I was anywhere near it.
I mean, it's kind of interesting, though. You talked about how you went through a bit of a period of kind of getting in a bit of trouble. Like, it seems like there's been a lot of, you know, refocus and redirection, just noticing that on your social media bios you're a very proud, like, father and husband and everything like that. So it seems like just the personal life and the professional life realignment has been, you know, really impressive. Can you kind of talk about that a bit? Like, it seems like you've got more, I guess, balance and, you know, direction now, I suppose.
Oh yeah, man, 1 second, my kid's jumping on the table. Hey, stop, son. Sorry, my
no worries.
Jumping on the end table and everything. Anyways, yeah, I spent a long time getting in trouble. I got in trouble all through my teenage years, but I still stuck to fighting. And then I ended up actually going to prison for a little bit. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I had been incarcerated several times before, but I got some battery charges that got me sent to prison. And when I was in prison, I was just looking around like, this is not where I belong. These are not the people I belong around. It just straightened me up. I got out in 2015, and I haven't had any trouble since then. I refocused everything and got married, started a family, and this is a much better life. And I feel like that's probably a lot of what got me back into MMA was I finally got married to a woman that was supportive and stuff, and it ended up working out where I had kids and I was like, man, it you know, on career day, be the cool. I'll be the coolest dad at school. You know, like doing this for a living rather than welding. I don't know. I don't know what made me come back to it, but I know prison did its job. It turned me around. So.
Yeah, I mean, just such an inspirational story too. Like, just for someone who might be in a rough spot too, just hearing how you were able to turn things around and, you know, yeah, just where you're at now and going forward. So I just love to hear stories like that, man. But I guess in kind of pivoting a bit back to us talking about how bare knuckle is ultimately an altogether different sport, like, I guess I'm curious to get certain insights into, like, how you approach the sport differently from maybe, like, gloved boxing or MMA previously. Like, I know certain fighters will utilize certain, like, hand strengthening techniques almost, or, like, working with, like, the wooden Muay Thai boards. Some guys are kind of like, ah, you know, I largely work like a normative, you know, boxing camp almost, and like almost like don't abide by the, you know, hand galvanizing, like microfracture kind of techniques. Like, how do you, I guess, go about, you know, the sport differently? Like, what is unique to a bare knuckle camp as compared to some other combat sports preparations you've had?
I don't do the hand conditioning thing, man. I've been in a lot more fights without gloves than I have been fights with gloves, and I've worked my whole life. I've busted my hands on things my whole life. I don't feel like toughening my hands up is really the route to go as far as things to focus on. Like I box 3 days a week, and then I have 2 days a week that I'm at an MMA gym. I do all, other than that, I train every morning, and I do like target bits without gloves on, so just hand wraps, so that I can get used to the accuracy and the range and things like that. That you wouldn't think it, but you get used to boxing gloves, and that little half inch of padding really makes a big difference on or inch of padding makes a big difference on your depth perception when it comes to hitting somebody. You end up whiffing a lot of punches when you're used to putting people on the end of a punch, and then you don't have that glove on anymore. I don't know. Nothing out of the ordinary, really. It is different, but the difference is, like, one of my coaches described it like if you have there's a difference than if you have a knife in your hand and you're just trying to hit me. And this is more like, you know, in boxing, I can afford to get hit some. I can make mistakes that get me hit, and I can take risks that get me hit. But in bare knuckle, you got to be more careful. You got to treat it like they have a knife in their hand, because one cut can stop the fight. Not really worried about the knockout thing, getting punched with that gloves on. I can take a hit, but, you know, getting hit wrong one time can cause a cut that stops the fight. So that's the main difference that I've found, is I can't play as much in range like I like to. And in boxing, I just stay in your face the whole time, and I don't really care if you hit me. But bare knuckle, I've got to be a little more careful about it.
Yeah, I mean, that is fair. I have heard that from certain people who have, you know, come over and stuff like that. And I have heard, like, also, like, maybe, like, the cardio considerations are different, like, more of, like, a sprinter's kind of pace, almost, just with it being those, like, succinct 2-minute rounds. So, yeah, definitely some different aspects, for sure.
Yeah, the 2-minute rounds I really like. I do not miss 5-minute rounds in MMA.
Yeah, you prefer, like, that, you know, kind of, like, sprinter's pace, like, just get right to it, like, no feeling out process as much. Just, I mean, obviously showcasing a certain level of fight IQ and not overextending, but just really liking that, you know, tossed in the blender kind of pace, as I've heard some people kind of compare it.
Yeah, in my mind, I feel like, call me crazy, but if the clock's running, then we should be fighting, you know. And in MMA, you see people do things to conserve cardio, like take you down, lay on you, or push you against the cage and hold you there, or just circle out nowhere near their opponent because of the size of the cage that they're fighting in, and just stall, and because nobody can fight as hard as they can for 5-minute rounds. Whereas 2-minute rounds, you get 2 minutes to just scrap, and then you get, you know, a minute to rest. So that's the difference. It's more of a sprint. I like it a lot better because I can actually fight my butt, not worry about what I'm going to do for this minute that I need to recover in the middle of the round.
Yeah, for sure. And we were talking a bit before about how you're more of a fighter that like focuses on your own preparations and what you're going to implement in the fight. Like certain fighters too will, I guess, pretty frequently practice like the visualization kind of aspect. I guess maybe in presuming you're a fighter that does that, and like you're talking about focusing on your own game, like what do you see as maybe like a predominant visualization? Like, do you see a certain, I guess, recurring outcome for this fight as you kind of like mull over how this next one against Keegan Vandermeer could go?
Not gonna disclose too much on that, but I plan on stopping him before the third round. My game plan's not much different than most of the time. You know, I want to get in my range and land my shots. I'm not really, I mean, he hits hard, but I'm not super duper worried about anything that he does well. I've got a plan, but I can't really announce my plan. So my plan is to get in my range and land my shots.
Yeah, no, I definitely respect that. And I mean, it seems like you do have that idea that you're gonna end it, you know, like around that like third round or even before the third round, like that sort of juncture, like the midpoint in the fight almost. But yeah, no, I appreciate you just coming on in general and giving great insights throughout this chat here, man. But in being mindful of your time and just the rest of your schedule, Dylan, I'm curious if maybe there's like a final parting thought you'd want to add as we're sort of wrapping things up here, man.
No, man, I want to thank all my sponsors and thank my wife for putting up with all this shit, and that's it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, good to have some sponsors and hopefully many more, you know, coming on board after this next one on September 22nd, and definitely excited for this BKFC 50 card overall, but this is a very intriguing fight against Keegan Vandermeer specifically. And just to reiterate, thanks again for coming on the show, man, and just looking forward to seeing everything when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you. You have a good day.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who competes at BKFC 50, which goes down on September 22nd. And it's a very intriguing bout as Dylan Weinmiller knuckles up and toes the line against Keegan Vandermeer. And great having Keegan on the show for the first time. How are you doing, man? You having a solid day so far?
I'm doing good. Did practice earlier today, and I'm just feeling great. It's time to work on my recovery now and rehydrate.
Yeah, and as much as you're readying for, you know, the sophomore BKFC fight here, just another Colorado card, so a certain level of familiarity here as you ready for this next one.
Yeah, I'm actually very thankful to be able to be playing the home plate because I'm just really thankful for the crowd and just already being at this altitude, being at this atmosphere. It's good. It's all good for me.
Yeah, and that was kind of something that I was going to touch on. Like, you seem like you're very acclimated to everything. Like, I feel like a lot of the interviews that I'm even doing with some of the fighters on this card, like that higher Denver altitude is like a topic of conversation, but it doesn't really seem like something that would really hinder you or meaningfully change what you're doing. Like, you strike me as someone that's like kind of accustomed to that sort of stuff.
Yep, I'm very used to the climate up here, and yeah, I've got a couple of friends that we take it a step further. Sometimes we run up in the mountains.
And you were briefly touching on it, like, before we, you know, kind of got into the call and everything, but have been out of the picture for a little bit. Obviously, factors beyond your direct control and injury sustained, and then getting ready to, you know, kind of come back and everything like that. So how are you feeling just with this journey, readying to come back? I'd think there'd be a sense of, I guess, pronounced enthusiasm, or I guess readiness would maybe be the way to say it after having been out for close to a year now.
Yeah, honestly, everything feels like perfect timing because, when my injury happened, I pretty much told myself it would probably be a year before I got back to it anyways. And everything's happening right on time. I took a year to mature as a fighter a lot, in a lot of ways, and it's helped me in many directions.
Yeah, and it's just cool to see because from what I understood, you had boxing and kickboxing experience before getting into the bare knuckle world. And I saw an interview where we were talking about how, you know, bare knuckle yields far greater results, as evidenced by your debut performance, which I'll touch on in a bit. But I guess I'm just kind of curious, like, maybe how your perspectives and, I guess, approach to the sport of bare knuckle has changed from the debut to where you're at now, readying for this second fight around a year later.
First and foremost, I've gained a whole new love and respect for the sport. Definitely a big respect for the sport. There are people who have been doing this a while, and they're getting, like, a crazy amount of recognition, and it's just cool to see, like, people really, really making headway in the sport, and that motivates me.
Yeah, and just kind of, like, touching on that debut. Oh, sorry, go ahead. You kind of cut out there.
My entire game plan, like, just the way I approach sparring, the way I approach, the mid-sessions, the exercises, like, just my mentality between these practices and how I'm working on stuff with my coaches, it's all gone from, like, we're fine-tuning things now, you know, you've really got to watch out for shots. You know, you can take the shots and afford to take the shots as much, like in boxing or kickboxing. So I've had to adjust to not being someone so willing to trade when I do my sparring, when I do even like touch sparring. So it's made me a smarter fighter. It's made me a much smarter fighter because you have a very tiny, tiny margin of error in there. Anything can happen, so, and you got to work through that, especially if you're durable. It's still, you know, being durable, you know, it works for you, but, you know, you still got to be smart about it.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely seems like you've had that, you know, refined understanding of the sport, for sure. So, you know, cool to hear that. I guess I'm curious, like, I mean, maybe this is something you're, you know, more keeping on the down low. Like, I know some fighters do it like that, but you talk about, you know, handling like the sparring differently and even the pad work. Like, I know some fighters within BKFC will either use like almost like the bigger like Queensbury rules gloves, or maybe like even the smaller like 4 ounce MMA gloves. I know I've talked to Reggie Barnett Jr. and he enjoys that because it kind of replicates the range like relative to like the bigger boxing gloves, I guess. Like,
you know what, I do notice one thing that, because I switch between like all of them, I train frequently, so even when I'm like hanging out with some of my other friends and like we like just ran the park or something, like sometimes we'll go bodies a little bit, like without gloves or anything. But like, you know, as far as like getting acclimated to like what you have to throw, and like when it comes down to really like getting in there and punching, I think what's really important is preparing yourself by just like doing things in stages, like still working at the clinch, but like working with the big gloves and then working in the clinch and then working with the small gloves. I find that like once you switch to like the small gloves from the big gloves, for me at least, a lot of my punches start landing better, and I'm like, I'm in and out quicker, and it feels nice, it feels fun. It's like I don't do the small glove sparring a lot because I box a lot now, but now that I'm preparing for this, because I've been boxing all year, now that I've been preparing for this fight, we've been switching to like, you know, flow sparring with the MMA gloves and stuff, and it's just been fun. It's been a good experience for me. I always find like a new type of speed in myself when I get to switch to the small gloves. So I know I'm going to have fun in there without any.
Yeah, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I was actually talking to another fighter a bit before I was talking to you, and this is actually kind of a common thread that I, you know, I guess put out there to, you know, different fighters and stuff like that. Just like talking about if they, you know, swear by some of like the hand strengthening, you know, bare knuckle techniques. Like, some guys are really into the whole like, you know, working with the wooden Muay Thai boards and like punching the sand and gripping rice and things of that persuasion, whereas some other fighters are like, ah, my hands are good, like they're plenty strong from the training that I'm getting. Like, do you have any special hand strengthening techniques, or are you just doing like the normative kind of work and gets the job done?
I just got rice yesterday, so I'm gonna start grabbing rice now that I'm 3 weeks out. I know that's kind of like a, I don't know, I'm someone that I don't like to shy away from things that I'm like not familiar with. I like to get to learn stuff, so I will try any, you know, most things at least once. But for the most part, for me, I do a lot of knuckle push-ups on the ground. Once I'm a certain amount of time out, I start hitting the bag without gloves. And let's see, what's another thing? Shoot, I do a lot of like forearm curls and like a lot of those, you know, like the little exercise thing that's got like the bar with the rope and the weight attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
And you roll the weight up and then you roll it back down, and you roll it up the other way. Those are helpful. I noticed when I was getting prepared for my first fight, I had been training this overhand, and it had been making my arm feel weird, like my forearm, like it made like part of my forearm feel weak. And when I threw that big punch, you know, sure thing, it caused me to break one of my metacarpals. So what I learned from that was, one, like, to punch something and to like help reinforce your body, you need to like have the muscles to hold it together. So I would say, like, anyone preparing for a bare knuckle fight, make sure that you're working on your forearm muscles. Work on your forearm muscles like crazy, and do lots of knuckle push-ups. You know, if you're not into kind of just doing the light taps like on the hard concrete wall or anything like that, you've got to do something. Boxing itself does help build your hands because you are like, you're enduring impact, but you got to do something, just a little bit extra. It's for the mental too, you know? It's not just for, you know, you don't want to have been, me personally, I don't want to have been doing a full camp with big gloves and then be like, okay, all right, today's the day we take them off, you know?
Yeah, I definitely get where you're coming from, and I appreciate the insights on the forearm strength. I feel like I haven't heard that from the other fighters I've talked to, so.
Once, when I broke my finger, man, I could feel, and, you know, I didn't go into surgery right away because, you know, scheduling and all that, but, like, I felt like I had to pop my finger, and I felt it for the longest time, and that feeling, like, was on the other side of my injury, so it was, like, that muscle connected to my finger and my ring finger and my pinky, both of those muscles felt so tight for a really long time. And I felt it into my shoulder. Like you've got to at least work your body. Because things like that, like, people don't realize, like, it's little things like that, but that will really offset the majority of your body. You gotta treat yourself well, you know?
Yeah, well said. And I feel like the growth is definitely evident from the debut, and a lot to talk about with this next fight, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least get some brief thoughts on that first go around there, because it seemed like from an interview I saw of yours, the game plan of BKFC 31 was to earn that respect in the first 30 seconds, and then obviously thereafter finishing the fight a few seconds after getting the 42nd first round finish. So, like, what were your main takeaways from that fight? It seemed like it went according to plan.
It did go according to plan. I realized that with each fight that's passing, the game, you know, it's kind of like that Mortal Kombat stack, you know, each opponent, you're upping the ante with each one, you know. And Dylan Weinmiller, he's earned his respect in BKFC, man. He's not just a walk in the park, and my thing is, I don't underestimate anybody. I never overlook things. I leave no stone unturned. Everyone is a very, very viable threat to me. So I take my camp very seriously. I put my all into it. My game plan with this is, you know, Dylan Weinmiller, he's a power puncher, and he's strong, and he's durable. He's a tank. He doesn't really show, like, he takes a lot of damage, and, you know, he can endure a lot. So I'm not there to trade with him. I'm not going to be greedy. I'm going to throw my shots and be smart and play my way from the outside. And if I have to, like, my personal opinion on myself is that I feel like I'm a good inside fighter. I can find good inside shots. I'm good at thinking quick and making it happen and getting out of there. But it's honestly kind of like the same, you know, earn my respect, let them know I'm not playing, and get in, get my shots, and get out. You know, I don't want to stick around for him to be able to touch me, because You know, like I said, he's strong. He's a strong dude, and he's a good forward puncher. So I got to work on my angles. I got to make sure I'm boxing around him, fighting smart.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess maybe you don't want to, I guess, take in too much intel either. I guess just in the context of having been out of it for a little while, and like even though he, like, in the general, like, cumulative time has been in the sport for less than you, like, just this being his, you know, fourth bare knuckle fight over the year, though, like, it would seem like he's very consistent and familiar with that. So yeah, is
yeah, I've got a, you know, I'm the one that's I'm to be honest, you know, mentally for me, it's this mentally and physically, this one is going to be a little bit of an uphill battle, you know, because this guy, he's got some experience, you know, he's not messing around. He's looking to add good names to his resume. So I'm pretty sure we're both very, very dialed in on this.
Yeah, definitely the impression that I'm getting. And when I was talking to him, he was definitely, you know, speaking about you in a respectful way, like, obviously similar thing, knowing what he's getting into just as you are. But you talk about the aspect of him being like a bigger puncher and some of the stylistic aspects. Like, what are your thoughts on some of the, I guess, specific performances? Because he had that 7-second stoppage, and then in his last outing, besting someone like Stephen Townsell, who's like pretty experienced and proven on the circuit. So, like, what are your thoughts on the last couple of performances he's had?
I mean, he's on that path. He's on a good track. He's got momentum right now, you know. And a lot of people might think that, you know, two fights might not be a lot of momentum, but, you know, that is a lot of momentum in bare knuckle. You know, that is a lot of momentum in bare knuckle. And yeah, to me, he looks serious as all hell. So I've really gotta make sure that I'm not giving him any opportunities to catch me lacking, or, you know, catch me off balance, because, you know, he's a finisher.
Yeah, it just seems like another great chance to fly the flag for Fighter's Chance.
Yeah, and that too. Yes, I always appreciate my gym over in Idaho, Fighter's Chance. There, those are my people. Those are my folks. I am fighting out of Genesis. I am fighting out of Genesis Training Academy, but Fighter's Chance is definitely, they are my, those are my people there. They're sponsoring me for this upcoming fight. Some of my training partners from there are coming out to see the fight. So I'm excited. I'm very pumped.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I had seen some stuff on your social media where you were, from what I could tell, pretty actively cornering like young amateur gloved boxers through Fighter's Chance.
Yeah, those kids are talented. I think as far as the amount of work that they put in and how they turn their results out, they're very good at listening. It's really fun coaching up there, and I can't wait to go back. I love going out there. Those are my people.
Yeah, good to have that space, and obviously a lot of love there that's mutual. But you talk about where you're at now, I guess, kind of getting deeper into the localized kind of current work, because in like the prior BKFC fight he had in April, it looked like you were working with Chris Camozzi. I'm curious, are you working with him ahead of this card, being that he's headlining for the cruiserweight title?
Yes sir, working hard, working smart and working hard.
I mean, that must impart something in the, I mean, obviously you're individually motivated, as is Chris, but I find when I talk to fighters who are like in the same space and they've got their, you know, individual tasks on the same card, it almost like really increases that level that much more in the room. And there's like a fervent kind of like team support dynamic, even though there's like the individual tasks and all.
Yeah, I really enjoy being able to do that. And I'm looking forward to being on a very stacked card with a bunch of professionals. I'm still, as an athlete, I'm still new to being a professional, and it's been a super long time dream of mine to be a professional fighter, and to be a prize fighter. And I hope that, you know, this it's my biggest hope that this just turns out to be a very pivotal turn in my career, so that I can just keep, you know, trucking towards that.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to be able to prove myself out there, and this is the fight to do it, to show people that you know, I'm not someone that, like, I'm not going to come in and just do it once. Like, I'm going to paint a beautiful picture. And the more reps I get of something, the better I get. So that's really what I'm excited to about, is just getting in there and shaking some of the rust off.
And it's cool the way you talk about combat sports. It's very much like in like the arts part of the martial arts kind of vein. Like, it seems like you very much look at it as like a creative kind of outlet. So that's cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it's what my life revolves around right now, and I wouldn't want it any other way. It's been a beautiful turnout for me.
Yeah, and definitely fun getting to see you, you know, do what you're passionate about, and definitely excited for this sophomore effort. Yourself and Dylan Weinmiller, both definitely talented fighters. And yeah, I mean, I was excited for this matchup before, but just having talked to both of you guys, definitely getting me even more excited. Like, it seems like there's that strong mutual respect and desire to, you know, put on that strong performance, realizing kind of what's in front of them. But, you know, I appreciate the time and insights a lot, man, but just being mindful of your overall schedule today and everything. Just curious if there's like maybe a final parting thought you'd want to add as we're wrapping up, Keegan.
sorry. My final parting thought would be, just don't blink. Don't blink. When everything starts, don't blink.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on both of your guys' track records with the quick KOs, I wouldn't think this is the fight to go grab a snack or grab a drink.
Yeah, right. You know, whatever side you're rocking with, you know, place those bets. That's what I would encourage a lot of people to do, is because, you know, it's for one, that, like, you know, just kind of getting, you know, the closer we get to the fight, the more kind of the hustle and bustle picks up, and, you know, people start reaching out and they're like, oh, like, you know, how do I do this? Start preparing that money. Set that money aside. Get those bets placed.
Yeah, for sure. Going to be a great night on September 22nd at BKFC 50. And again, to reiterate, thanks so much for coming on and giving great insights ahead of this one. And just, yeah, looking forward to checking it out when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, man.
Yeah, definitely. Big respect to Dylan Weinmiller as well. And thank you for the call. And I look forward to September 22nd. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Great having you on, and hopefully the first of many. But yeah, until then, you have a good one, man. Thank you.